be to you from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. Amen. If someone were to ask you, what does your baptism mean for you now, today? The epistle read in church on this sixth Sunday after Trinity gives us an opportunity to think about this question. And whenever this Sunday comes around with its epistle about holy baptism, I remember some words spoken in the far-off world of the 13th century, 800 years ago. In that far-off time, the devout king of France, Louis IX, had this to say: "The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head." The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head. But the crown he wore on his head simply showed that he was, for a short time, a king. But those three handfuls of water had made him a living member of Christ, a child of God, and an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven. Problems in the church at Rome caused St. Paul to speak of baptism in his letter to that church. For it seems that some of the Roman Christians had confused the forgiveness of sin with license to sin. And it was against that terrible misunderstanding that St. Paul cries out, "Are we to continue in sin that grace may abound? By no means. How can we, who have died to sin, still live in it? Do you not know that all of us who were baptized into Christ Jesus were baptized into his death? We were buried, therefore, with him by baptism into death, so that as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, we too might walk in newness of life." Whenever we confess our faith in the words of the Nicene Creed, we say, "I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins." To consider the reality, the blessings of baptism, it's perhaps helpful to think about baptism as administered by immersion. That is not necessary, but it is a way of administering the sacrament. And it helps us to picture to ourselves what baptism is, regardless of the amount of water used. I almost always ask my confirmation classes, "What happens if you hold somebody under the water too long?" And the answer invariably comes back: they drown. And that is precisely what happens in every baptism. In baptism, we are mysteriously yet truly joined to the death of Jesus, his saving death for our sins, and his life-giving resurrection. I love these words of an old hymn which says, "With Christ we share a mystic grave. With Christ we buried lie. But 'tis not in the darksome cave by mournful Calvary. The pure and bright baptismal flood entombs our nature's stain. new creatures from the cleansing wave. With Christ, we rise again. And that then is the wonder, indeed the miracle, of holy baptism. That in baptism, you and I have mysteriously yet truly been made one with the saving death and the life-giving resurrection of our Savior. As we learn to say in our catechism, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. Baptism is our solid rock, dependable, unshakable, immovable. We remember how when Dr. Luther was troubled by sin and guilt, or all but overwhelmed with care and fear, he would say to himself, "But I have been baptized. If I have been baptized, then I am a member of Christ, a child of God, an inheritor of the kingdom of heaven." And that is the wonder, the miracle of holy baptism. To live as a baptized child of God is to die daily to sin and to walk in newness of life. And how do we do that? Through daily repentance, by saying no to sin. And when we sin, immediately crawling back to our baptism and taking comfort in the tender mercy of Jesus there given and pledged to us forever. Healings come and go, faith waxes and wanes, love flourishes and dies, but our baptism into Christ dead and risen stands certain and firm forever. Christian living is baptismal living. Daily returned into baptism in which we once truly yet mysteriously shared in the death of Jesus, in whose death our sins are dead and buried in his tomb and in the watery tomb of our baptism. And because you and I have already in baptism shared in Christ's life-giving death, the death we still have to die is only the completion of baptism and entrance into glory, just as St. Paul says in today's epistle. For if we have been united with him in a death like his, and we have been in baptism, we shall certainly be united with him in a resurrection like his. Yes, baptism works forgiveness of sins, delivers from death and the devil, and gives eternal salvation to all who believe this. St. Paul wrote to the Colossian Christians, "As many as you have been baptized into Christ have put on Christ. In baptism, you and I put on the spotless robe of Jesus' blood and righteousness, in which before our God we'll stand when we shall reach the heavenly land." And so we remember again the words of the devout King Louis IX of France, who could say, "The three handfuls of water with which I was once baptized are more precious to me than the crown of royalty which I now wear on my head. And the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus unto life everlasting. Amen."